And Paul says, we are letters. We are letters read of all men. Yes, we are letters read of all men, which means people read us. They look at us. Many know we are Christians, and they examine our lives to see what difference it makes to us. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Similar theme, verses 20 and 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, which is what the Lord wants, but also of wood and clay, which he doesn't want. Some for honor, the gold and silver, and some for dishonor, the wood, clay, hay, and stubble. Linked with 1 Corinthians 3. Yeah. Oh, a great house indeed. We are his body, we're his true church, but it's a mixture in the body of Christ. Some are growing well, praise the Lord, others not so much, stumbling along the way perhaps. The Lord wants us to be gold and silver, precious stones in the body of Christ together. But as we have here, some are wood or clay, 1 Corinthians 3, hay and stubble or straw. That's unfortunate. But the Lord says, that's what I see. That's what is there in the whole body of Christ. All right, back to 1 Corinthians 3 then. We just look at the wood, the hay and the stubble or straw. 1 Corinthians 3 again. And there you have it in verse 12, there's the wood, hay, and the straw, and you can see that will be destroyed and reduced to ashes by the fire of the Lord. Now, what is the fire of the Lord? Well, it's his fiery eye. It's his examining eye of our lives as he looks right into our hearts, looks at our motives, and remembers what we are down here. Now, this is nothing to be frightened of. This is not a condemnation. He's not going to actually breathe fire against us, but he's going to examine our lives with his all-wise divine eyes. He's going to examine our motives for everything that we do. And in this case, because when you look at, you need to go to Revelation chapter 1, but in the very revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle John in chapter 1, there's a description of him as our great high priest, dressed like a high priest, girdle around here, and it says, the hair white as wool, which is not age, is purity, and his eyes as a fire, because it is penetrating to look right through into our lives. And as James said, we're looking at James in the Bible school, remember those who come, remember this, that always when the Lord is examining us, or when he's testing us, or when he puts us into a trial which feels like fire, the Greek there in James is that he is looking for something good. That's what the Lord is, not negative. He's actually looking for what's good in our lives, or to actually test us and put us on trial in order to produce something good. That's what James is really saying. He's looking for that which is good. He can approve and say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in the joy of the Lord. That's fine. I'm well pleased. We should be well pleasing to him as well. Or it could be wood, hay, and straw, and he says, I'll just wipe that out. That's no good. Because gold, you see, symbolizes the very life of Christ, the life of the divine nature as sons and daughters in us. You're looking for that. You're looking for the evidence of redemption, how it's changed our lives, silver. And the precious stones being a pillar, strong, dependable, trustworthy, beautiful. You're looking for that. And if he finds that, great. He'll say, well done. Good, I give you my strong approval. I will honor you. Isn't it worth it, going for that? But look at this wood, hay, and stubble. What is the wood? Well, wood is a picture of the carnality that Christians can be living at. The fleshly. The double motive. Maybe looking for pat on the back. Maybe looking for applause. Maybe looking for attention. The Lord says that's wood. Pardon?
Can I ask something?
Yeah, of course you can.
Why did God choose wood then to be the connection between him and the silver feet?
Because it's basically the silver that counts, because we're the wood, but we depend upon the silver redemption when we're saved. In one sense, the old nature is very much like the wood. See, Christians can act in the old man and get angry, lose their temper, get irritable, get, you know, short, whatever it is. That's possible. Or we lack grace, or we lack patience. That's the carnality. But it can still be part of our lives. And the Lord says, well, how about building the new man? You know, if you feed the new man, starve the old one. That's the thing. Starve the wood. Paul mentioned this also in 1 Corinthians, I think. He says there's a difference in the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man or woman. The natural man, of course, is those who don't know the Lord at all. The carnal one is who's living more or less like a wooden life. Really, not exactly a very good lifestyle. Perhaps enjoying the world as much as enjoys Christ. One foot in the world, one foot in the Lord. And, it's just not living according to his instructions in the scriptures. That's a wide comment, I know. But you know what I mean on that. It's the wood. It's also a picture of careless service, not well done, not thoroughly done, not really well prepared. That's not just preparing sermons, but maybe our witness or something we're sharing with people, or someone's asking a question about something. Look it up, get to it. People want to know. There are people out there who want to know. How well can you address their question? Or can we be careless about it and not bother too much? Or just give it, you know, a bit of an airy-fairy approach? No, let's be serious about this. We're called to be serious Christians. Not to be glum and miserable, joyful, but serious. Serious about who we are and where we're going and what we're doing. What the Lord wants to achieve in us and through us. The furniture of the temple, of course that was overlaid with gold as well, like the tabernacle, but also the temple and the tabernacle were initially made of wood. You know, they used acacia wood, didn't they? Or cedar wood coming down from Tyre, sent down for the building of the temple. Beautiful wood, cedar wood. But that was always overlaid with gold. So our own woodenness, should we say, doesn't mean to cover with a veneer. We don't cover that with a veneer. But the evidence of divine life has got to get through our carnality at times. Or our woodenness. Our stiffness. Instead of love, it's coldness. That's wood. That's wood. See, this is the element of the carnal, not the spiritual man or woman. You know what I mean by that. So the Lord doesn't really want to see that. He really wants to see the gold which is within here. And that should be winning through. The divine life, the Christ life, should be winning through. That's growing. Peter, at the end of his second letter, says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he relates that to his second coming, of course, as well. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord, grow in grace. It's not just getting your mental estate, it's applying what you know to life out there. That's what he's talking about. Okay, well, that, I'm afraid, is going to be reduced to ashes because it has no value whatever. Our carnality has no value with the Lord whatever. That's just going to be knocked out of the way and put in the fire, if you like. His fiery eye said, oh, that's just rubbish. That doesn't get through. My blessing or my approval. I'm not pleased with that. Well, then you've got the hay. Wood, hay, straw, or stubble, the hay. Well, if you get a hay rick, you know, all the hay is cut in June and dries out in the field and they gather it all together and you bundle it now. But they used to, many years ago, put hay ricks. And, you know, people love to bounce on the hay. I did that as a child, you know what I mean. But it's all bouncy show, isn't it? It's all bulky show. It's like the Pharisee. They're all bulky show-offs. They could bounce around. They would blow the trumpets or get someone to blow it while they gave their gifts or said their prayers. I mentioned the other week. Or they can put chalk on their face as if I'm on a hard time in my fasting. You know, that sort of thing. No, he says, that's all bulky show-off. That's the bouncy hay. The Lord says, oh, I can burn that away very quick. Hay burns away very quick. Oh, no, he says, don't want that. The Pharisees love to perform. That's not for the Christian. We're not in the theatre. That is a problem with some preachers. I'm sorry. They're up, they're bouncing along in the platform as if it was a theatre. Sorry, no way. That's a generalisation, but you know what I mean. Bulky show. Showing off, self-promotion. Same with prayer. Well, they were open in their prayer. They wanted everybody to see their prayer. Never mind what the Lord thought about it. But Jesus said, no, no. You go into your own private place. You shut the door. Never mind. You're not there to impress other people. You're there to talk with me. Oh, that's the prayer side. But that applies to other areas as well.
So all these hay people, are they believers or not believers?
Can be, yes, because they're all there.
Right.
They're all there at the Bema, yes. Oh, yeah. There's the wood Christian, there's the hay Christian, and there's the stubble Christian. They're all there. It's the body of Christ, the church. They're going to become a bride. They're all saying, I want to prepare you as a bride, so I'm going to knock all that out the way. I'm going to just remove it. Wipe it out. I want my bride perfect and mature, clothed, pure, dressed in my righteousness. I want to get married to a beautiful bride. So I'm going to knock all the rubbish out the way.
So the things we've done pleasing unto the Lord, not the things that we haven't done that are not pleasing.
It's what we've done, pleasing or unpleasing. It's well, it's what we've done, but what we are.
Yeah.
This is what the Lord is looking for, what we are. What we are, the demonstration of Christ in my life, what I am. As much as what I do. Because people can do and act very differently from what they are. Because it can be pretense. That's what the Lord hated in the Pharisee. He dislikes pretense. And that's dishonesty. That's make-believe. And it's giving a wrong impression to those outside. They can be very critical. So that's the hay. The stubble and straw. Nothing of any value. It's what's after the harvest. They used to burn it, didn't they, in the field. Now they just plough it over. No good to anybody. Achieving nothing at all. It's just worth burning up. But that's stubble and that's straw. Nothing there. It's a worthless life. Misspent. Misused. No gratitude for salvation. Gratitude for salvation is a great motivator for being the sort of people the Lord wants us to be. Then we can do things the Lord wants us to do when we're the sort of people he wants us to be. They're both related. Works follow what we are, or lack of it. That's certainly very true. Well, these are all believers here because those who've had a lot of wood, hay, and stubble here, look in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 3, if you're still there with me. 1 Corinthians 3:15. This is a result. Well, 14 first. If anyone's work endures, which of course is the gold, silver, and precious stones, because fire can't deal with those. All fire does is to purify them, like granite. And he will receive a reward. The Lord always rewards. It's encouraging. It's a good motivator to do well in your Christian life, as well as serving. But verse 15, that's the other side. If anyone's work, as not only work of serving, but the work of building, or lack of it, of your Christian life. If your work of building your Christian life displeases the Lord, And that's a reality for all of us. He will suffer loss. Loss of reward, not loss of salvation. Loss of reward. Won't get any. But he himself will be saved. See, there's eternal security. Nothing to do with salvation, this. It's to do with rewards for faithful living as well as faithful serving. He'll be saved. He'll go through the fire of the wood, hay and stubble, being reduced to ashes. But his spiritual salvation is quite secure because it's got nothing to do with him. It's to do with Christ's redeeming work in our lives. You can't change that. That's important because we're the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And also the wooden Christian or the one with hay and stubble. The Spirit of God still has made them the temple. Not a very good temple, you might say. That's certainly true. Somebody with them will have no reward at all. Remember Lot back in Genesis? The Lord wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he did it by fire. But he didn't do it until he got Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You might question what he was doing there, because he chose the nice grassy fields of comfort living. But the Lord had to get him out before he destroyed it by fire. So he was quite safe, wasn't he? He's called a righteous Lot in the New Testament, strange as it might seem. That's certainly true. That's Genesis 19. In Jeremiah 17, verse 10, you needn't look it up. You want to look it up later, I'll quote it. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. I'll explain that in a minute. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now that's both. According to his ways, how he's built his godly, obedient life with the Lord, like Jeremiah, as well as the fruit of his doings, his actions, which will also be examined. Our works will be examined too. Jeremiah brought it both together there. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. The word reins there simply, it relates to the renal, the kidneys. On top of your kidneys, you've got a little gland. It's called the suprarenal gland. It's there which produces the adrenaline that really fires you up in a moment of emergency. The adrenaline flows like that. And the Lord is examining us, our energies for him. And in a moment when he can use us, in a moment of emergency perhaps, when we seek the Lord, help Lord. But it's our what gets us going. That's what the Lord will examine. That's the reins. The kidneys, renal is the word we get from it. And these suprarenal glands that produce the adrenaline. That which gets us going. And the Lord is going to examine what gets us going. In living as well as doing. That's important. I mentioned about the eyes of flame of the Lord's eyes. That's in Revelation 1:14 if you want it. Let's have a look at Hebrews. So if you're 1 Corinthians, go on to Hebrews, please, if you will. I'm nearly at the end of our thoughts for this evening. Hebrews, please. And we're on chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. This is similar to the Gospels, but Jesus said. It's similar to what we read in Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians. Here it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Because here he's writing to believers. We must all give an account. That's what we also read in other parts of Corinthians. Our lives are open and naked. He sees right through with his fiery eye, open to his eyes, to whom he must give an account. That's something, isn't it? Look in chapter 6, verse 10 for something to encourage us. Of Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 10. Chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your works, or work, and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name. See, we're protect, but not he needs his name protecting, but in a sense, we are serving his name, his character, his quality of life, who he is. We're here. We're defenders of the faith. That's showing towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints in a practical way and do minister continuous. The Lord doesn't forget it. He's a just, righteous, and gracious, rewarding Lord. But he does see right through everything. That's certainly true. So, finally, there will be that examining day. Go back to 1 Corinthians again, please, just to finish off. And look in 1 Corinthians 4, that verse 5 we read. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, back there. Judge nothing before the time. And anyway, that's his work. Until the Lord comes. He's coming for the church. Who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, even in the Christian's life, and reveal the counsels of the heart, our motives. And then each one's praise will come from God. That's why I read Hebrews 6. He's not unjust to remember our labor of love. Here it is again. Each one's praise will come from God. He will actually praise people who are faithful to him. And rewards are considerable, if there's any doubt. Now, just briefly, you want to know about the crowns, and we look at the crowns very quickly. If you want a sheet with all the crowns on, I've got a sheet here, but if someone could photocopy them, or we can get some photocopies the next time. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Or next week, I'll let you have this for next week. Okay. So you can all have a sheet. There are five crowns of reward. So let's very quickly look at them. Are you in 1 Corinthians? I'll go 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. I'll let you have this, Colin. You can do it for next week. 1 Corinthians 9, very quickly. 1 Corinthians 9 from verse 25 to 27. Just quick now for a few minutes. It's been going about an hour. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 to 27. Pardon?
You've only got an hour on there.
Oh.
How long have you been going?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
Well, let's see how we go anyway.
54 minutes there.
No, it's not 57.
Right, good. Well, it's going to be a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 to 27. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, well controlled. Now, they do it obtain a perishable crown, that's the ordinary Olympic Games, but we for an imperishable crown, which is eternal. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, but thus I fight not as one who beats the air, not wasting my life on service. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself will be disqualified. Now what the Lord is saying here, if I serve the Lord well and if I grow well in Christ, there's an imperishable crown which the Lord will give to me when I meet him. It's an incorruptible crown that will ever never get destroyed. You'll wear it forever. You'll probably cast it at his feet. Next one is, let's take it in order, I think might be an idea. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Let's take them in order. Be quicker. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Paul is writing to these lovely Christians of Thessalonica. He's only known for 3 weeks, as I've said before. Verses 19 and 20 from chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? This is a crown of rejoicing. Who is it given to? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Why? Because he preached the gospel and they were saved.
Sorry, what was that? 1 Corinthians?
It's 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20. It's a crown of rejoicing for being a soul winner. Now, it isn't the number of people we lead to the Lord. It's our faithful witness which will hopefully will bear fruit. But salvation is of the Lord anyway. You can't save anybody. That's the whole point there. So, it is for your witness. For your witness. Mm. Hoping people get saved. Next one is in 2 Timothy. Go on to 2 Timothy. A few pages on. Chapter 4, verse 8. And this relates to looking for the Lord's appearing. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. This is when Paul knows his life is coming to an end. He's going to be with the Lord. Verse 7, I fought the fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Verse 7, he'll get his reward. Verse 8, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, the Bema, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing, looking for the second coming of the Lord, and our life ready for